Welcome back to the Plotopsy Podcast here at Misanthropy Movie Blog. With each episode of the Plotopsy, I take apart a movie that is generally accepted to be a failure and try to determine just what circumstances and actions led to its demise. Today, I'll be taking a look at John Borman's strange sci-fi cult classic, Zardoz.
To you, his chosen ones, the gun is good.
The gun is good!
Go forth and kill.
Zardoz was written, directed, and produced by John Borman, a well-acclaimed director of such films as Hell in the Pacific and Excalibur, who is coming directly off of the success of the backwoods thriller Deliverance. This gave him essentially free rein for his choice of projects. Though he initially tried and failed to get The Lord of the Rings off the ground, the experience of doing so inspired him to write his own fantasy universe, the result of which was Zardoz. While Borman's career was by no means ended by the eventual dud that was Zardoz, his follow-up to it was arguably the biggest disaster in Hollywood history, The Exorcist II: The Heretic. The cinematography for Zardoz was provided by Jeffrey Unsworth, whose impressive list of credits includes Superman, Superman II, Cabaret, A Bridge Too Far, and most notably of all, 2001: A Space Odyssey. Given the low budget of the production, the cast of Zardoz is notably absent of many stars. Sean Connery, the most beloved portrayer of super spy James Bond, is the most recognizable face in the lot. He supposedly took the job for a pittance after failing to find work in the wake of his Bond retirement. Aside from Mr. Bond, Charlotte Rampling appears in a supporting role, who recently received an Academy Award nomination for her part in 45 Years. The memorable production design on Zardoz was done by Anthony Pratt, whose credits include Solar Babies, The Man in the Iron Mask, Excalibur, the acclaimed miniseries Band of Brothers, and the 1985 Santa Claus movie. The story of Zardoz is summarized on the Internet Movie Database as follows. In the distant future, a savage trained only to kill finds a way into the community of bored immortals that alone preserves humanity's achievements. According to Borman himself, he added the odd opening scene of Zardoz, complete with a giant floating stone head, in an attempt to explain the picture to audiences which didn't seem to understand what the film was about. In his own words, it didn't work. Zardoz was shot within 10 miles of John Borman's home in Wicklow Hills, Ireland. While the Irish landscape certainly adds a lot to the picture, it is likely that this was a decision made out of pragmatism as a way to save money on the production. Burt Reynolds was originally set to play the lead role of Zed. While the circumstances of his withdrawal are unclear, he never actually began filming on the movie. The studio had a short list of other actors who could fit the bill, but as mentioned previously, Connery was willing to accept a low salary to play the role, and thus wound up being cast. John Borman himself appears in a brief role in the movie, during which he is shot in the head by Connery. It was a blank, but the discharge still left pieces of wadding embedded in Borman's forehead. One of Borman's key inspirations for Zardoz was Aldous Huxley's story After Many a Summer, about a wealthy man who finds a method of achieving immortality, but eventually regresses into an ape as a result. In regards to the small budget of Zardoz, Borman has claimed that many of the costumes of the extras in the background were painted directly onto their bodies, because actual wardrobes would have been too expensive. Zardoz was made on a shoestring budget of $1.5 million, on which it managed to gross $1.8 million theatrically in its North American release. This made the movie technically profitable, which is a fact that many people have overlooked. However, the reception to the movie was less than favorable. It currently holds Rotten Tomatoes scores of 44% from critics and 54% from audiences, along with an IMDb user score of 5.8 out of 10. On to the plotopsy of the film. What is wrong with Zardoz? Why is it remembered as such a momentous failure? Well, to start with, Zardoz is not really all that much of a failure on paper. Certainly not to the extent that it is thought of in pop culture, at least. From what I can gather, it was not only profitable, but was also mostly successful in delivering Borman's vision. That said, his vision was almost certainly too surreal to resonate with audiences, and far too unfocused to make for a solid work regardless. Outside of a handful of Stanley Kubrick and David Lynch works, surrealism has never really been able to successfully key in with general audiences, and Zardoz is a movie that relies a lot on surreal imagery and thought. The fact that it is a very sexually charged movie in both theme and content almost certainly didn't do it any favors, as audiences usually aren't interested in overt, uncomfortably sexual topics. It is almost arguably too arty for its own good, like Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite in a bandolier thong. If it maybe didn't take so many steps into the darkness beyond the pale, it would have been able to keep people invested in its content and ideas. Even Borman has admitted that he tried to fit too many concepts and thoughts into Zardoz, which is probably the biggest major weakness of the film. Speaking of trying to do too much, the screenplay to Zardoz never quite gets sure footing with the audience. It spends so much time in the clouds, touching at strange ideas and notions, that it forgets to lead us, as outsiders, anywhere in particular. The result is basically just a montage of possibly linked thoughts and events that seemed to just fly by overhead without a reason or explanation. Borman was clearly caught up in creating the original world of Zardoz while writing the screenplay, and never put much effort into making the world approachable for an audience. Usually, fantasy and science fiction works include a character that audiences can identify with, usually a fish out of water who is also being introduced to the world. In Zardoz, no one really fits this role, which means that the audience is left without a solid foundation to fall back on as the plot gets stranger and stranger. One thing that is surprisingly not a problem with Zardoz is the shoestring budgetary constraints. Frankly, it is astounding that this movie looks as good and memorable as it does, given its low budget. The director, producers, production designer, effects workers, and cinematographer all deserve a lot of credit for this film looking so distinct. Sure, the costumes are goofy, but they are also the result of an inarguable vision. A weird vision, but a unique one. Zardoz is a one-of-a-kind movie. It was crafted by talented people on a minimal budget, and based on a strange, original vision that wasn't allowed to properly mature before making it to the screen. Borman probably shouldn't have rushed so quickly to make Zardoz, and could have percolated on it, honing the screenplay down over a few years. However, that isn't what happened. Luckily, this movie didn't destroy any careers, and has mostly survived as a cinematic oddity. The fact that the budget was low meant that the risk was also low, so it wasn't really a huge issue that it failed to become a blockbuster. Today, the movie looks hilariously dated, and is a true relic of the 1970s, which adds a whole different layer of value to it now. Zardoz, despite being a hot mess of surreal nonsense, is a movie that is worth seeing, if only one time. To paraphrase Roger Ebert, who I believe summarized the movie best, every once in a while, a movie like Zardoz comes along that you just have to see so that you too can be left in the dark about it. That's all for today's episode of the Plotopsy Podcast. Be sure to check out Misanthropy Movie Blog on Facebook and at misanthropy.com.